Hi, I'm Mel Majoros. I am a 7-year cancer survivor. My blog, The Cancer Warrior, is one of the top 10 breast cancer blogs, according to blogs.com. I'm here to bring a fresh, upbeat perspective to a topic that to some may seem scary. A positive mental attitude got me through my cancer, and I hope to share that with you. So we are talking about testicular cancer awareness. Now, we're talking to Matt Frostedt. He is a 2-time testicular cancer survivor. He's 25 years old. That's pretty young. So we're going to talk about educating our medical staff and everything, not to say, well, that's you're too young for that, because that's obviously not the case. So how are you today, Matt?
Doing all right. How about yourself?
Excellent. Well, why don't we jump right in and tell the listeners your story?
Like you said, my name is Matt, and I'm a 2-time testicular cancer survivor. I'm currently 25 years old, but I was 20, or I was just after my 20th birthday that I was diagnosed with testicular cancer for the first time. My birthday was on a Friday, and it was actually the following Tuesday I went into surgery and had it removed.
Oh, happy birthday.
Yeah, seriously. But basically, I was first year on a new college campus, away from family and friends and things like that, and I was taking a freshman biology class, and the lesson that week, or the unit that we were on, was cancers, and testicular cancer got brought up. Just it's kind of a, you know, something that the professor went over, and I'd always known to check myself for something like that. And that evening, after going to the gym or whatever, I was in the shower, did a self-exam and felt something. Of course, with my 20th birthday coming up, first birthday on a college campus, I kind of put it to the back of my mind and didn't really worry about it until Monday morning, when I was in the shower again and kind of remembered what I felt the week before. And then I started to get concerned. So, of course, I did what any college student would do and hit the Google machine to see what this knot on my testicle was. And after, you know, doing some of my own research, decided that it could be testicular cancer. From there, I went to the emergency room, and they confirmed. Well, they said they couldn't confirm until they removed it, but they said it's a pretty good chance. So
were you away from home? I mean, how far was the college away from your house?
I was about 3 hours away from home. It was a little bit scary, but I ended up calling my stepfather that night. And
hey, what are you doing this weekend? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And he basically let my mom know. She freaked out and, of course, rushed right out to the college. So my mom and my dad were able to be there for my surgery. So that was nice.
So that's crazy. You found out, I mean, you probably wouldn't have checked yourself if had it not been for that biology class.
Right. Especially at that time, you know, kind of going along with the talk that you get as a male growing up, your dad pulls you aside and he's just like, hey, you got to protect the family jewels, and this is how you do it.
That's cool.
I'd always had that in the back of my mind, but, you know, I think everybody, before they hear those words that you have cancer, think they're invincible and, oh, that's not going to happen to me.
Exactly. So after you had your surgery, did you have to go through chemo or radiation?
Fortunately, it was caught early.
Okay.
So we just did surveillance for a couple of years, and that brings us to the next time that I was told that I have cancer. And it was now my senior year moving in to college. Kind of this time around, I felt some soreness and some swelling. And having cancer in the past, you've got to protect what's left. And
exactly.
I was always checking at that point. But I was, you know, growing more concerned. And I knew I had a follow-up appointment coming up. So brought it up to my doctor then. And he said, oh, yeah, we'll check it out, take a look at it. And it didn't look like very much then. And he thought it was epididymitis, which is another very curable disease with the testicle. And it might have been that, but it also turned into being actual cancer again. So 2.5 years later, going into my final semester of my senior year, I was told that I had testicular cancer again. So knowing the ropes and how to remove it, we went ahead and had surgery there again.
Was it the same testicle?
No, they actually removed the right one the first time around, and then they removed the left one the second time around.
So did you get implants?
I did. I just got the one implant on the left side, just basically so they didn't have to make another incision and put the right one in and balance it all out. And
Was that weird? Was that a weird decision for you? Like, I know some survivors don't, but I mean, being a breast cancer survivor, most women do get their breasts reconstructed, but I've talked to a few survivors who do not decide upon that. What made you decide upon that?
So basically the first time around, the question or the option was on the table, I guess. And my thought was, well, you know, I've still got something down there. Like, I'll be able to manage, no big deal. But the second time around, kind of having an empty sack at that point,
right?
I figured, why not go with it and kind of make it look somewhat normal at least. So
do you have implants for both sides or just one?
No, just the one. If I was to get it on the right side, they would have to make another incision. Just to make the recovery process a little bit easier, I just opted to go with the one.
That must have been weird on the table. So we got this right here. Do you want us to just...
Well, it gets even stranger. My sister at the time was working for the hospital in their surgical ordering department, and she actually ordered my testicles for me. And she made sure she got the variety of sizes and ordered multiple of them just in case the doctor... It slipped out of the doctor's hand and fell on the floor or something like that. So there were backups set in place.
That's funny. Did she call you and say, hey, I got your testicles in today. Do you want to check them out?
It was something along those lines. I think she shot over a text and let me know that she ordered them and then she was tracking them to make sure they would make it in time for the surgery and everything like that. So
your balls are across the country now. They'll be over shortly.
But... Yep, basically. I think there was a moment where she was kind of freaking out and calling up UPS saying, I need to get this order in.
And what exactly is in the package? Well, my brother's testicles. I'm sorry.
Exactly.
That sounds like a Criminal Minds episode if she just said that to UPS, not knowing if she was like a surgeon. The police will be at your office shortly.
Yeah. You want to do what?
You're sending what now? So
this is for who?
So did it take away from any of your studies? I mean, how?
Fortunately, it did not. This was over winter break.
Mm-hmm. Oh, good.
So I had, I guess it's about a month long for college winter break. And the surgery was right after Christmas.
Mm.
So it did affect my New Year's plans because a couple of buddies and I were planning to go to Times Square to see the ball drop.
Ironically
enough, another ball was dropping. With the studies and everything like that, I worked with my doctor, like a huge team of doctors. Even like brought in a panel at one point and got their opinion and everything. And we decided, or we opted to do the surveillance again.
Mm-hmm.
So I was a little bit hesitant to do the surveillance again. But
what's the difference between what do you mean by surveillance?
So basically with surveillance, it's just getting like regular monthly, or there's a whole timetable of when you get tests done and meeting with your doctor,
blood tests and whatnot,
just to make sure your markers and things like that are at the level they're supposed to be. And if there's any abnormal results, then, you know, further action would be taken, whether that would be radiation or chemotherapy.
So were you opting for maybe radiation or chemo just because you had it? This was your second time around?
Yes. I was exploring the option. Something else that's pretty common post-testicular cancer is the removal of the lymph nodes, because that's the next area of the body that the disease will spread to from the testicles. So it was like, okay, do I have them remove this? And that's a little bit more of an invasive surgery. So I would have been laid up for a couple of months if we went that route.
Because I'm assuming the lymph nodes are in the same area for that.
Yeah, okay. I think they kind of like go up like your stomach abdomen area.
I had a surgery. Yeah, that does lay you up for a couple months. Obviously, you know.
A little bit scarier, but I think I was more leaning toward that option rather than like a chemotherapy or radiation treatment.
Mm-hmm. I'm surprised they couldn't just do like a quick biopsy of your lymph nodes.
Yeah. I'm not sure. I'm not really sure why that didn't happen.
I don't know either. Not a doctor, but just putting that out there in case somebody has, you know, is going through what you're going through. Maybe that's an option that you could talk to your doctor about.
Definitely.
So 25 years, that's a long, lot of living from 20 years old to 25 years old. Now, I met with you through Matt of the Testicular Cancer Foundation. What do you do for them, or what have you done for them? Because I know last month was Testicular Cancer Awareness Month, but you know, in all honesty, those of us who've had cancer, every month is Cancer Awareness Month. So
definitely, I feel like every month when you have whenever you have those doctor appointments or something like that, you know, you're always thinking about it, and especially during those times. But I'll start off by basically letting you know how I came about to meet Matt.
Yes, that'd be great.
Graduated college 2012. My girlfriend and I went to a Yankees game up in New York City that summer. And it was the first time I'd been to the new stadium, so wanted to go, didn't care, you know.
Right.
Where we sat or anything like that, and ended up sitting in the very top row, like way back in right field.
In New Jersey.
The highest possible. Yeah. And there's a rain delay at the game. Like, it's horrible. But these three people sitting next to us, one guy was wearing a single jingle shirt, which was the name of the foundation at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And my girlfriend points it out, and she's like, oh, yeah, look at that shirt. And I was like, I told the girl sitting next to me because she was with him. I said, oh, yeah, I like your friend's shirt. It's pretty cool. And she goes, oh, well, actually, it's to support testicular cancer. And she's like, what do you know about that? It's like, well, let me tell you, I actually know quite a bit. And she's like, immediately, she's like, okay, well, let's switch seats. You need to talk to him. And I can't even tell you what happened that baseball game because him and I basically talked all the way through it. So
that's crazy.
So from there, Matt got in contact with me a couple months later. We had been talking back and forth, but a couple months later, he calls me and says, hey, we're putting together the Speakers Bureau. I would like you to be a part of it. I said, okay, cool. So went down to Austin, Texas, where their headquarters is, and got to meet 12, 15 other guys, cancer survivors, testicular cancer survivors. And we spent the whole weekend together for this conference and basically getting the skills and tools that are needed to go out and speak about or speak on behalf of the Testicular Cancer Foundation, letting people know that testicular cancer is the most common in males 15 to 35, but is also the most curable when detected early. So with that, I've been able to go back to my college, share some information there, spread the word, and also go to some of the fundraisers that the Testicular Cancer Foundation holds, like a golf tournament that they hold annually, and speak down there. I know some of my other speaker bureau brothers, I'll call them, have had great opportunities to go out elsewhere, share their stories. Two of them actually rode their bikes across country to raise awareness and making stops in various places and giving speeches, passing out flyers, information, things like that. So it's been great. It's been a great opportunity, and I think the weekend being there was probably the most impactful, just being able to meet all the other guys that have had testicular cancer.
Because well, first, I just got to tell you, I just looked it up. Out of the, assuming Yankee Stadium was at capacity that day, 50,291 people there you met That is,
yeah,
that is crazy. And you know, when you say things are meant to be, they were meant to be.
Definitely.
Now, it must have been, because as you know, cancer can be very isolating. It must have been great to just meet people who had gone through what you went through, because I think that's very important, you know.
Yeah, because from the time that I met Matt, I would say before that, all I had really known, you know, okay, yeah, Lance Armstrong, he had testicular cancer, but
right.
on a personal level, the only
right.
person that I knew that had it was somebody that I played soccer with in high school, and he graduated like 2 or 3 years before me. So
neither he or Lance Armstrong was going to get it, hang out with you, right? I mean,
right.
So that's excellent. Now, did you participate in the bike ride? I know they did a bike ride or swim.
I did not. Mm-hmm. I was following them on social media and stuff like that.
Right.
So
that's okay. So what do they call? I'm interested to know. And what do they call the golf tournament?
I want to say it was just kind of a testicular cancer golf tournament.
They should call it like. Don't you guys have a shirt that says "Check Your Balls"? The testicular
yes.
cancer check your balls tournament or something.
Yeah.
I think that'd be great. I'm just saying.
Check them. I've always thought it was funny, and maybe they can incorporate this in the upcoming years, but with golf, a lot of the times you might lose your ball in the water, into the woods, down the street.
Exactly. I know.
Depending on how you play, but I always thought it'd be great to donate like $10 for every ball that's lost or
That is a great idea. I'd probably end up giving $100 because my golf game is terrible.
Yeah.
So what do you do for a regular job when you're not doing testicular cancer speaking
so
awareness?
That's the really neat thing. I am currently working for a marketing firm,
mm-hmm.
and what we deal with is chronic illnesses.
Oh.
And we basically do that part where we're linking isolated people that are living with these chronic illnesses and pairing them with somebody else going through basically the same life situations. Like, for instance, multiple sclerosis is a big company,
right.
or not company, disease that we work with. And just being able to pair those people up with somebody else that's going through the same types of things that they're going through situations, it's pretty awesome.
That is awesome. Wow. And has someone come through your work that has testicular cancer and called you up and you're like, well, actually.
not yet, but through the Testicular Cancer Foundation, Matt has worked pretty
right.
good, diligently on, like, if somebody is coming through that maybe is being diagnosed for their second time, he's really good at, like, throwing my name to him, like, right away, and we're able to connect and kind of talk to you some things, so.
That's awesome. I'm still blown away that you met at a Yankees game with 50,000 people. Who are they playing that day?
They're actually playing Boston that day.
Okay. You'll have to go again, because
like,
I'm a Red Sox
yeah.
fan. You'll have to go again. Maybe Matt
yeah.
can... Matt can work that out and take you to a game, and you're like, come on, I missed Yankees versus Sox. Come on.
Yeah, seriously.
So do you have any, now we talked before, you don't have any anything coming up, but I don't know, I want to talk more about your story because it's just so fascinating.
Yeah.
Like what,
yeah.
I mean, you're not speaking right now, but people can get a hold of you. I know we still have about 10 minutes left, but.
Yep. So basically, probably the best way to get a hold of me is go to the Testicular Cancer Foundation
mm-hmm.
Website, which is testicularcancer.org. And from there, you can order a free shower card. That's something else that TCF does. It's awesome. Part of their mission or their goal is to get a shower card to every male in America. So if you or a loved one, somebody that would be interested in getting the shower card, the website's a great place for that. But also you're able to contact them and say, you mentioned this radio interview, you say,
yes.
Oh yeah, I heard this and I'd like to get in touch with Matt. The other Matt that does a great job at linking yourself and as well as all the other testicular cancer survivors in the speakers bureau.
That's just awesome. And I think the same thing can be said with breast cancer as with testicular cancer. Sometimes you might tend to forget about it as far as when you're taking a shower, but, or, you know, whatever, if you're changing or whatever, but you being a cancer survivor, you have to be diligent. And I think it's important that you're, you know, you being as young as you were when you were diagnosed, letting people know, hey, people this young can get cancer. And I know a lot of doctors, at least in the past when I was diagnosed 8 years ago, they were like, cancer was like the last thing that anyone even thought of. Even the doctor did my biopsy said, I have done this for 25 years and only a handful of people surprised me and you were one of them. So, wow. I mean, yeah. So, you know, and I never thought cancer, but I found the lump. And like you said, you found the lump and you have to make sure you tell men of any age, if you find something weird, like, yeah, it's embarrassing, you know, finding a lump in my breast, that's embarrassing. Finding a lump on your testicles, I'm sure that's embarrassing as well. But, you know, if you do nothing, then you may have cancer and bad things. Well, you know, worst case scenario, definitely. Obviously you could die, but it also could be nothing. And I find it shocking still to this day that even friends of mine are like, well, I kind of felt something, I kind of feel sick, but I don't have time to go to the doctor. And it's like,
right.
And my hair, and my hair starts to stand on end and my eyes like turn to flames or whatever.
And I have a cousin actually that just reached out to me a couple months ago and basically said, hey, like I was in the shower and I kind of felt something, and knowing your story, I just wanted to talk to you about it. And I was like,
yeah,
we talked about it. And I was like, look, like you need to get to the doctor as soon as you can. And he was like, oh, well, I just started this new job. It's going to be a couple months before my insurance kicks in. Like, you can't really worry about that. Like, yeah,
right.
Definitely going to be nice to have something like that. But I mean, you know, you never know how aggressive the cancer is going to be and like what stage it's in now. So like get to the doctor. And fortunately he did get to the doctor in time because he did actually have testicular cancer.
Whoa. Yeah. See, I mean, that's the kind of story that you also need to tell, even though he didn't have insurance. I mean, nowadays with you know, the new insurance things that's going out, I believe there's more help for people right now, but also like your cousin said, well, I don't have time to go to the doctor. Well, cancer takes a hell of a lot of time away from your life, you know, and there's also like the worst case scenario. Well, you're the most important. There's only one you, you know, there's only one of your cousin and we want him to be around as long as possible.
Exactly.
And was he thanking you, like saying, oh, thank you for telling me to go to the doctor?
Yeah. He was very appreciative, especially after, you know, his surgery and stuff like that. So
you must hear a lot of stories like that.
Yeah, I tend to.
Mm-hmm.
But it's definitely nice being able to give real, genuine advice to people, just because I've been in their shoes. I would say the one thing that I don't want to say I wish I had gone through, but one thing I wish I could understand a little bit more is the chemotherapy and stuff like that people go through, just to be able to help them with that journey as well.
You're not missing anything right there, let me tell you. But, right. I'm sure there are speakers from the Testicular Cancer Foundation who have gone through chemo, and you can just say, hey, you know, talk to so-and-so. Yeah. He's done that.
Yeah, exactly. And that's usually what I do.
Yeah. Yeah, trust me, that's not... Don't ever wish that you went through chemo, because it sucks. Yeah. And yeah, just getting back to your cousin, I mean, we had somebody here at work who he said something like, oh, I think I had like stroke-like symptoms over the weekend. Or he said, I felt sick, and I was like, what? He goes, well, why don't you go to the doctor? I don't have time for that. I'm like, well, what if you do have a stroke? Then you'll be laid up, and do you have time
for really. That? Like,
I mean, no one, it's funny, because the doctor is the one place I always find that people... obviously you never want to go to, but you should. And you never want to come out with anything, you know, she just told me I had cancer, or, you know, I have a rash.
Yeah.
Woo.
Yeah.
You know, but it's obviously like the most important person that you have to see.
I definitely agree.
You know, and I use this analogy. Well, if the brakes are going out on your car, do you just wait until they actually go out and you slam into somebody else? Or do you be a little more preventative and say, okay, well, can you take a look at this? What if it's just like, oh, it's just a little leaky brake line, I can just fix that and it's a couple dollars. It's better than, you know, whoops, I forgot my brakes aren't working, and now, you know, God forbid you hurt somebody, or, well, You know what I mean?
Exactly. That's a great analogy to say.
Yeah. So, or to use. You know, you're not going to, I mean, if you spend money and you spend money in your car to make sure it's working, why don't you spend money on you?
Exactly.
Because my favorite
thing to say is, you know, how everybody goes to the internet basically to see what their illness is.
Right.
It turns out everybody has cancer, but I really did. And you might be one of those few. So you should get that checked.
Well, exactly. And you probably didn't feel sick either. You just found a lump.
And
unfortunately, TV nowadays and movies, when people have cancer, it's all of a sudden they're bald and they're sallow and they look pale. And like you and I felt I was in like the best shape of my life I've ever been in. I was going to the gym, mm-hmm. working out, you know, you were just in school, and then bam, it's cancer. I mean, we're living proof right now that it doesn't matter, you know, if you're healthy, if you're sick, you know, if you're 20 and in college, or, you know, a little bit before 40, I'll say. I was 37. That's fine. You know, if you have testicles, you can get cancer. If you have breasts, you can get cancer. It's not, I'm too young, or that'll never happen to me. We're all hoping it'll never happen to you. But, you know, the most important thing is diligence. Like you said, the shower cards are great. I met Matt at the OMG Summit in 2011. Stupid cancer. Yeah, that's another thing. Seeing, like you said, meeting people who went through the same experience that you have is just, not that it validates your cancer, but it's just like, oh, I'm not the only one.
Exactly.
You know, I'm not, and that's an important thing too. If you, you know, like your cousin found a lump and you're not sure, and you, you know, maybe you don't want to go to the doctor, but we're telling you that you should.
Right.
You know, calling the Testicular Cancer Foundation and saying, you know what, I'm not sure, and this is what it feels like, and, you know, someone who's been through it may, like you said, your cousin may give them that little extra step towards seeing a doctor rather than like, well, you know, I don't have time for that. I don't have money. And I use the analogy, well, it's your money or your life, which is more important to you.
Yeah.
You know, would you rather go broke and be alive, or the alternative? You know, I mean, that's to me, if it's your life, then money is no object.
Yeah.
Because, like I said, I mean, there's only one Matt Frostad, and we can't be in this world without your advocacy and your...
Right.
And I don't know about how I feel about you liking the Yankees, but we'll let that slide. Are you a Yankees fan?
I am a Yankees fan.
Should have known that before I had
this
interview.
I will give you reassurance and say that Matt is not a Yankees fan. He was helping a friend move up there. And they, you know, when in Rome, just go to a Yankees game, I guess, right?
Well, you know, I'd probably go. I mean, I haven't seen the old stadium, but the new stadium looks pretty sweet. So,
yeah.
Awesome. So tell us again how we can get a hold of you and the Testicular Cancer Foundation.
The Testicular Cancer Foundation has a great website. Mm-hmm. It is testicularcancer.org. On there, they've got great resources to help you get educated about the disease, help you find the support that you need, get involved with the organization.
If you have fertility questions, we didn't get into that, but you know, if you have questions about that, you can check that out. And that's important for a lot of young men if they're thinking about having families and everything.
Definitely. Especially if you lose both of them.
Exactly.
Yes.
So.
But you can definitely get involved, and I believe you can request for a speaker like myself to come out and speak to a group of people, or just hop on a phone call and talk to somebody. And then you can also place orders for a shower card or request a shower card. And then if you're feeling generous, you can even donate to the foundation.
Well, of course you're feeling generous. Come on now.
Yeah. You should be. I know it's May now, but...
It doesn't matter. You know, cancer awareness does not stop at April 30th. Testicular cancer does not stop at April 30th. You know, there's no such thing as 1 month for, you know, that may just be what somebody puts out so everyone pays attention to it for a month. But as we all know, it's something we all think about, you know, most of the time.
Exactly.
To help other people. Well, see, we could talk for a half hour because our half hour is just about up. So thanks, Matt, for joining us. It's testicular.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. Testicularcancer.org. If you hang on like If you hang on for a second, I'm going to wrap up like I usually do. This is Mel Majoros. I am the Cancer Warrior. You can always find me on Facebook because I am a Facebook junkie. Check out my website, thecancerwarrior.net. And as always, life looks pretty good from where I'm sitting. Sending you good vibes. It's the Cancer Warrior on EmpowerRadio.com.